Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky and I'm here with, as always, Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins. Hello, guys.
Hello, I'm Dave. Jess.
What did you say?
What did Matt even say then?
I said, "I'm Jeff."
See, normally you and I are actually pretty good at saying the same thing at the same time.
Well, we fucked it there.
Did you say, "I'm Matt"? No, you didn't say that.
I said, "Hi, Dave." Fuck. But so I am Matt.
Should we start again?
Yes, please.
I'm here with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
I'm Jess. Matt.
Oh, I love it. So good.
What a good
and
gag.
Sync.
And scene.
And sync. I imagine somebody's like really crap at acting.
And sync.
Like you just think that's
if you just absolutely nailed an audition and they were like definitely going with you until you said and sync.
I think that's just
what a really dramatic plumber
would say.
Anything else I can help you with?
And sync.
Oh sure, no worries. I'll get straight on
that. Not a problem. Well, it seems to be the issue with the sink. Spoons in it. Gotcha. Stop putting spoons down the sink.
No.
I dropped a pair of very small tweezers down my kitchen sink.
No.
And they're, I mean, not kitchen sink.
Is this still the act out? Or is this
in real life. This is an insight into Warnocky.
This is non-fiction storytelling at its finest. Mm-hmm. At the time I dropped a pair of tweezers down the bathroom sink, they're going to be there forever.
What were you tweezing?
What was I tweezing? Possibly in between the old brow?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Maybe... I'm not a very hairy man, but maybe once a year I'll go for an in-between.
Go for a tweez.
And that one time I dropped it down the fucking
hasn't
sink.
Done it since.
That'd be hard to tweezes. Do. Is it, drop what it down kind the sink. Of sink is it?
It's very old. It's like an, 1950s.
Just one big hole.
Yeah. It's just, I live in a hole.
That's a well. Floor. Are you talking about a well?
Yeah, I was tweezering over my kitchen well. And well. Oh, guys, we're doing well, though. We're all here.
We are doing well.
Matt, you've just come back from New Zealand. Not that the listeners would know because we banked a few eps. But how was it? In real life, because we've been in a bit of a rush, I haven't asked you. So I'd like to know, how was your trip?
It was really great. I went around the South Island a little bit and it was super fun. What a pretty place.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, some great Instagrams on Matt's account.
Yeah, I really enjoyed some Instagrams you had going there.
Yeah, okay.
You got good face. Very photogenic.
I'm very photogenic. If I'd say one thing about me, it'd be yes, highly photogenic.
Oh, absolutely. When people say...
Describe yourself in two words.
Do you know Matt Stewart? Are you friends with Matt Stewart? Yes, absolutely I am. I've known him for a while now. And they say, oh, what's he like? I said, very photogenic. And then I go into your many other features, but I always start with photogenic.
It's number one. I think most people would say that.
It's a big one. What's our first for Warnocky?
Warnocky? Oh, tiny butt.
Tiny tush. Oh. He's got a tiny tush, but a heart of gold.
Two words to describe Warnocky?
Mm-hmm.
Nazi sympathizer.
Yeah. Oh, fuck off.
As if, one, as one if of the you two. Didn't think he was going to go there. As Look, if.
I'd blissfully forgotten that I was associated with such a thing.
Silly boy. Silly boy.
So that'd be the top two-word descriptions. Third would probably be nicely dressed.
Golden tonsils.
Sorry, of course. There? Yeah, golden tonsils.
That's I thought we were talking fourth. About serious tonsils only.
Yeah.
So. I was just trying to get a compliment ongoing joke.
That's the one that you started for yourself.
No, it just doesn't work like that, does it?
No, that's okay.
And two words to describe Jess? A bop bop.
A bop bop.
Yeah. Bop bop.
A bop bop.
A bop bop.
Oh, French.
Yeah, I'm French. Oh, I would have said nappy sand mum.
Oh, yeah, nappy sand's one word, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Nappy sand, what a weird name for a product.
It is a weird
sand
name.
Sand short for sanitize?
Maybe.
Nappy sanit.
What about hyena laugh? Hyena. There it is. Good, thank you. Proved my point there. All right, guys, we're going to jump into the report this week.
Let's do it.
Which is me reporting.
Which is our favourite.
Yes.
You always talk about that. You always,
It's not just us, though. Like, listeners have tweeted to us and said they love Warnocky's as well. And Matt and I aren't even insulted by that.
No, not at all.
We
totally
like it.
Agree.
Too. Sure? Yeah, 100%. 100%. I hate doing the report. No, I don't hate it. It's
I'm
great.
Wondering, because we're about a month out from Christmas. I'm wondering if it's going to be a Christmassy topic based on Dave's very Christmassy sweater.
Yeah.
Is that what you'd call it? Is that a sweater?
It's pretty.
Some sort of a jumper. It's a knit.
A knit. Christmas a knit.
Christmas knit.
Yes, yeah, so I would wear this happily. Wear this in April. This outfit. So.
Sure.
Always festive.
You are always festive.
Festive boy. Two more words. Two more words.
He's our little festive boy.
Yeah. I've got a topic from the hat,
mm-hmm.
but we'll start with a question and then credit our author of the topic.
Mm-hmm.
My question to get onto my report is, who is the poster boy of tortured artists?
Oh, my God.
The poster boy of
tortured artists.
If you don't get this one, then we'll have a follow-up question.
Sure.
Poster boy of tortured artists. Is it if it's a painter?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Okay, Joaquin. He was briefly...
He's briefly tortured, wasn't he?
He played that role,
it's a strange sentence.
Not River Phoenix, the one that did die.
No.
No.
Because he was very tortured.
Joaquin. True. Remember that time Joaquin was on Letterman?
Yeah, and you became a rapper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it was just a joke. It was a movie.
But kind of related to Joaquin Phoenix, Johnny Cash. Are we talking painter, artist?
Johnny Cash is somewhat tortured. He had some problems with the drugs.
Exactly. The drugs and the booze.
The first person that came to my mind was Vincent van Gogh.
Oh, he's nailed it.
Oh, right.
That's
okay.
Who
Very
it is.
Good.
He's the poster boy of tortured artists.
Yeah.
And sorry, Jess was probably trying to make a bit of fun with that, but I just assumed I was wrong. And I wasn't.
Oh, no, I thought Van Gogh as well. Yeah. And then I thought, I'm going to have a couple of fun answers and then
so
I'll
got,
jump in.
So you just went straight in there.
Well, rule of three. I went for Joaquin Phoenix and Johnny Cash. And then, we hit him with the real one.
I could have said someone like, Brendan Favola.
Sure.
But
artist. And in terms of tortured artists, you know.
Well, he had some, at some point he had some gambling issues.
Sure. Artist, though?
Oh, he on the football field, he was definitely an artist.
Okay. Well.
The way he could make a ball talk,
mm-hmm.
it was just like it. Seeing was believing.
I mean, Warnocky's laughing, but
he doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it.
I'm not a football.
He's not a sportsman.
This guy doesn't.
He's
get
our festive
it.
Boy.
My festive boy, not a sportsman.
Yes,
that's the difference. I mean, we cross live now to our festive boy.
You're just there dressed as a Christmas
yes.
tree.
Hello, Chris. I'm here on Christmas Day, and it's been a fun one. See you next year.
Boom, and I'm gone.
And I'm gone. Thank you, festive boy.
And they pay you enough to last you the rest of the year. Like that's your
he's
one.
Very good.
He
at
works
what he does.
One day.
That'd be a dream.
You'd be a great festive boy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, if anyone's listening and could sponsor a festive boy, get in touch. This suggestion is actually from Twitter, from P. Basta. P. Basta. It's at PJ Basta, BASTA.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks, PJ. Or in our hat, their name is just listed as P. Basta.
P. Basta.
Oh, they just suggested...
That tickled you somewhat there.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on why that would be?
PJ Basta.
Yeah.
Because P. Basta just sounds like a great name.
It's a good name.
You bloody P. Basta.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if that Do you think sheds any more light onto it by just saying it again with bloody at the start?
I just find that on this show we are, I was going to say famous, we are well known to each other for reporting on people with funny or satisfying sounding names to
very
say.
True,
and I think P-Baster is a satisfying name.
P-Baster,
name.
I'm pretty satisfied by that.
Yeah, me too.
P-Baster has texted in the, he said, Vincent van Gogh's ear.
Oh, bloody hell.
So I thought we'd get into
it. Very specific.
With our three most famous ear-related incidents. I've written down my top three ear-related incidents.
Okay, I reckon I know one of them, but it's on the sporting field in
the
boxing
ring. Are these
all
Van Gogh related?
That's right. Number three, we've June 28, 1997, Mike Tyson v. Evander Holyfield 2, the boxing title fight, billed as The Sound and the Fury. Do you know much about this, Matt?
Not really. I know that he bit his ear off.
Yeah, right. So
and then spat it on the boxing floor. So the boxing floor?
Ring. The mat?
The mat. Boxing mat.
That's your name. You should know that one.
Spat it on the boxing mat.
I never knew much about it, so I looked into it a little bit. Because I thought of it. But Holyfield won the first three rounds. Well, the first couple of rounds. First two rounds. Then Tyson began the third round with a bit of a furious attack, and then with 40 seconds to go, they got into a clinch where they lock into each other, and Mike Tyson just decided to bite Holyfield on his right ear, and a one inch piece of cartilage from the top of his ear was actually bitten off, and he spat it out.
Yeah. Oh.
And then Holyfield shrieked around in pain and runs around, covered in blood, and they call off the fight, right? And then they decide, the doctor says, nah, he's okay. And they keep going. I didn't know this.
They
kept going. Next round, lock again. Mike Tyson bites him on the left ear.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
This time only scratches him, doesn't take a bit off. And then they called the fight off. And then Mike Tyson's like, can't understand why they've called it off. And he goes for Holyfield, who is surrounded by security, and Mike Tyson starts trying to punch the security guard.
Oh, my God.
It's just crazy.
It's like what they say.
I thought it was like, bite the ear, and everyone's like, well, not cool. But they kept going.
Bite me on the ear once.
Shame on you.
Tyson was banned from the sport for 1 year and fined $3 million, which was not much money for him at the times. And then he was back.
Yeah. And he's still like, he's a movie star now.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's true.
Of sorts.
Incident number two. A man that we mentioned a few weeks ago, Mark Chopper Reed.
Of course. Mm. Yes.
And I decided to look more into it because we alluded to it. If you've ever seen the film Chopper, which it's an Aussie movie, but it did well overseas, so our overseas listeners may know about it.
Eric Banner's sort of breakout into Hollywood role.
He was playing Mark Chopper Reed. Everyone called him Chopper. He had a fellow inmate cut off both of his ears in order to be able to leave H Division of Pentridge Prison, we were talking about, temporarily. In his early biographies, he claimed he did it to get away from people that were trying to ambush him and kill him because he'd pissed off the wrong people. But then later on, he said that he did it to win a bet.
Oh,
which
boy.
Is, there's only one winner of the bet, and that is not Chopper.
No. 100% that
That's
is
a shocker.
Not. That is not a good idea.
But the number one ear-related incident of all time must be credited to the artist Vincent van Gogh, who we're going to talk about here today.
Woo!
And it is Van Gogh, isn't it?
I'm going to say this at the start of the episode. He was Dutch, right? Mm-hmm. So his real name is Vincent van Gogh. Like a sound at the end, but then no one says that in English, so more people say Goff than Go, so I think Goff is more correct.
Right. I reckon I grew up thinking it was Go.
Yeah, I think so too. I reckon in primary school when we studied his work we would have said Vincent van Gogh.
I reckon too,
but Goff is good. Let's stick with Goff.
I just think I think you should
do the real pronunciation, Dave.
Vincent van Gogh.
Lit up Matt's little face.
Vincent van Gogh.
He looks so...
Because he's going to have to say it 100 times.
Yeah, seriously, there's so many times in this report.
He looks so happy when you say it.
All right, let's try it. And then we'll have our Dutch listeners go, actually, that was terribly incorrect.
Yeah.
Probably worse than saying Gogh.
Sorry, Dutch listeners.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Our former Prime Minister, Gogh Whitlam. Vincent van Gogh. Gogh. Was born on the 30th of March, 1853, in Zundert, in the southern Netherlands. He was the son of pastor Theodorus Van Gogh.
Theodorus.
What?
Theo.
I told you about great
Teddy.
Names. And his wife?
Pastor.
Anna Cornelia Carbentus.
Oh.
Van Gogh.
I like the Anna Cornelia part, especially. That's
these
great.
They're great names. Vincent was a common name in the Van Gogh family. His grandfather was a Vincent, named after his own uncle, also Vincent. And Van Gogh, the artist, was not even the first Vincent from his parents. He had an older brother, also called Vincent.
Great.
Who died very early on.
Oh.
They decided to recycle the name.
That's...
Vincent.
So the other guy wasn't using it. So.
But I know, but imagine if you hadn't seen a family friend for like 10 years and somebody's like, oh, how's Vincent? And you're like, oh, he passed away. Like, oh, I'm two of your sons? Oh, no, sorry, you meant the second one. No, Vincent, he's fine.
The second.
He's dead as well, actually.
But the third
sometimes
one.
I forget. Sometimes I do forget.
Something happened with his ears as well.
Yeah,
we haven't found out what yet.
Yeah.
Dave hasn't told us, but something.
Do you guys have any names in your family that like are passed down?
No.
Any reoccurring names?
Got like no... My mum's middle name is Jane, which is my sister's name, but about it.
There's a lot of Michaels in my family. My grandfather's Michael. He had a son, Michael, and then...
Do they call him Junior?
I wasn't around when he was a junior.
Sure.
But not in my time.
Do you call him Senior now?
No. But he didn't have a kid. He only had two daughters, but one of his older sister had a son called Michael as well.
Yeah, okay.
So there's a Michael on each generation. I don't know if that's on purpose or what.
No, that can just happen. I think it probably was for your grandfather to name his son.
Yeah, but Michael. He did have a lot of kids. He had 14 kids. So
yeah.
He was just running low on names.
Yeah. We've got lots of...
I mean,
of...
at the time, there was famously only 13 names.
Yeah. So it's like, well, we just got to, I don't know, give him mine then.
One of them was called Gogh.
Yeah.
And that was just like, he sneezed when when the nurse had asked him.
What would you like to call it? Gogh. Sorry, oh, hang on. The nurse is like, sorry, I've written it down.
It's in pen.
You
have to
get one shot.
We haven't invented whiteout yet.
And these forms are very expensive.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
We've got lots of Phillips. Philip Perkins. So that was my grandpa. That's
double P, Philip Perkins.
Yeah, but it's like a fupa, you know? Anyway.
Do people call him fupa?
Fupa. My grandpa, and then he had one of his sons, and then he had one of his sons, and there's lots of Phillips. Lots of Johns, too.
Phillips a great name.
My dad's John. And then we got our parents' names as our middle names. So that's handy that there's only two of us. Imagine if there was a third and they got some weird made-up middle name.
After combo.
No significance.
Combo the two names together.
Yeah. Jan. John and Anne. Jan. Or
that is a name. I will say that Jan, you laughed a bit, but Jan is definitely...
No, because what if I had a little brother? His middle name had to be Jan.
Jan.
Or Aeon. It's no good, is
That's
it?
That's also a name, I'll have you know.
Aeon.
Aeon. It was Aeon's your
hearing.
Dad's 12th brother, I believe, was Aeon.
Aeon?
Aeon, yeah.
And then the 13th was and Sink.
And Sink.
Anyway.
Van Gogh had a brother, Theo, named after the dad, who was very, very close to throughout his whole life. Then there was another brother, Core, and then three sisters.
Core.
It sounds like, I don't really feel like going out tonight. Core.
Check out her tits.
Core. Yeah.
Check out her tits.
I'd like to core.
Hang on.
No. Yeah, okay, great.
Three sisters. Elizabeth with an S.
Elizabeth. So you got to pronounce it differently.
Anna. And Wilhelmina.
Wilhelmina. She got the short straw. Girl.
They called her Will. They did.
No,
they
Will.
Did, yeah.
Wilhelmina.
Will, so like, nah. Anna, Elizabeth, perfectly great names. Wilhelmina.
What's your sister's name? Elizabeth. Wilhelmina. Really?
She got the short straw. And then Core's like, yes. I'm like, oh, fuck. Happens every time.
Back then, Elizabeth was the weird name. Wilhelmina. There was a Wilhelmina on every corner.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knew.
For some reason, they were just standing out in the corners.
This is my corner, Wilhelmina.
Even in the rooms, just every room, every street, there was a Wilhelmina. There were that many of them.
Against their own will? Or
yeah.
They changed?
Against their own Wilhelmina. Yes!
Wordplay.
We did it, you guys.
Van Gogh.
Should we just stop it there?
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, I feel like we've peaked. Thanks, everyone. Patreon. Thanks so much. Bye. Van Gogh's mother was a rigid and religious woman who emphasized the importance of family to the point of claustrophobia to those around her.
Oh, wow. She was very intense and had no personal space. She was up in your grill.
Yeah. She wanted Wilhelmina in more than just the corners. Theodorus's salary was modest, but the church supplied the family with a house, a maid, two cooks, a gardener, a carriage, and a horse.
I think they're okay. I love that. They were, I mean, they were tough times. They had a house.
They had
a maid.
Two cooks.
Yeah. So, but two cooks, but one maid?
I feel like P. Diddy doesn't even have two cooks. And that's fucking P. Diddy. Am I right? Or some other contemporary reference.
Did you say one maid?
One maid.
Well, you'd go two maids and one cook. Surely.
I think that's what P. Diddy did.
Or like a maid and a nanny. There's right. So many children.
Yeah. Two cooks.
But maybe the cooks are, you know, all-rounders too, maybe.
Sounds like too many cooks. Van Gogh was sent to a boarding school and hated it.
That's weird.
But he was encouraged to draw by his mother. His art teacher at the boarding school's philosophy was to reject technique in the favour of capturing the impression of things, particularly nature or common objects, but a still life.
Oh.
So that sort of got him going.
Later,
Van Gogh wrote that his youth was austere, cold, and sterile.
Aww.
Which is...
austere.
He often... I would say that he would describe most of his life like that. This is why it's the poster boy of tortured artists.
Yeah.
I will say that this episode is a tragic life.
He didn't seem like a happy chappy, you know?
No way.
He was no festive boy.
I mean, he may have, you know, painted the sunflowers, but he was not a human sunflower.
Oh,
you
no. I don't know. He painted things that he was not.
Mm-hmm.
Starry Night. He's not
He's not Starry Night. God, no.
Bowl of fruit.
He's not a bowl of fruit.
He'll eat one.
Sure.
Begrudgingly.
Yeah, but he ain't one.
No.
Etc.
prove her wrong, everyone. Prove her wrong. We know so much about Van Gogh.
He did do self-portraits as well.
Ah.
Which he was not.
Very good.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, no.
But they were all mirror images because he looked at himself in the mirror.
Ugh.
So, the opposite of him.
What a hack.
Which he was not.
Which he was not.
The opposite of him. Yes.
Okay. We know so much about the man. He was not well known during his lifetime because of his extremely close-knit relationship with his younger brother, Theo, who I talked about before. Mm. Their lifelong friendship and most of what is known of Vincent's thoughts about the world and art are recorded in hundreds of letters that they exchanged each other over 18 years.
Oh, that's nice.
The letters have been described as having a diary-like intimacy and in parts read like an autobiography. So he wrote down nearly everything he thought.
Wow.
Nearly. The only real gap was when they lived together in Paris and they had no need to write letters to each other.
I don't know. I still text my housemate.
Well, other than letters like, we need milk and take out the trash, you lazy prick, which has survived the generations.
Wow, that's
beautiful.
It's
now in a museum.
My housemate was messaging me the other day and because she didn't realise I was home.
Were you in your...
I was in my room.
Was she in her room?
Yep.
What was she saying? Are you in your room? And you wrote, yep. And then that was it.
That was it. End of conversation. Deb has seen this message.
And sync. You should write that to her.
And sync.
Van Gogh's Uncle Cent... which I love because I feel like that's what 50 Cent's nieces and nephews would call him. That's why I mentioned him. Uncle Cent got him a job at a respectable and quite famous art dealership, Gruppel and Sy.
Mm.
I'm definitely saying that wrong to our Dutch friends.
Art dealership. But are you imagining it like a car dealership where they're all a bit dodgy?
Do you want to take it for a bit of a test drive?
And they're all kind of like sleazy, oily men.
Yeah, you see the hole in the middle of the canvas? Yeah, that makes it go faster. You want that? It's pretty good.
I was going to say something wild and inappropriate about what you could do with a hole in a canvas, but I will ask you instead, David, to please do go on.
Fuck it.
Yep.
Good.
Glory hole
situation. I just could not die not knowing.
Could not die not knowing. That's confusing.
I wish I was dead now. He trained up in the art dealership. He put on the sleazy suit and started selling.
Mm-hmm.
He moved to London to work, and this was a happy time for Van Gogh.
Oh.
He was successful at his work, and at 20 was earning more money than his father.
Wow.
But how many chefs did he have?
Yeah, that's the question,
too
isn't
many.
It?
Doesn't mention. Too many.
Probably had to cook for himself like some sort of idiot.
Oh, but he had several maids.
Yeah, there you go. Didn't have to clean up, but had to make his own cup of soup.
What about if you could pick one maid or one chef?
Maid.
Maid for you?
I like cooking more than I like cleaning. Is a maid a cleaner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of an all-rounder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go maid because I'm never home. Like, I very rarely cook because I'm very rarely home to cook a meal. So it'd be kind of pointless having a chef there to cook for me and then I'm not there to eat it.
I'd definitely pick a cook because I cannot.
Yeah, we know, buddy. You can't do a toasted sandwich.
Would it be okay for me to just get specifically Niles from the nanny because he cooks and cleans? Or
Niles, he was an all-rounder and makes little snide comments about people.
Which is fun. Yeah, okay, good call.
Maybe Daphne from Frasier.
Yeah.
Because isn't she like the physio, but she seems to do everything.
Yeah, she's not like, yeah.
So that's even better because I get massages as well.
All right, cook, cleaner, /maid, or physio.
Oof, okay. No, I'd take physio.
Again, I'd just take Daphne. I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Daphne wins.
She always wins.
Nice fresh references. The Nanny and Frasier.
Any modern lurch from the Addams Family?
That you're going further back. It's further back.
Yeah, I don't know if it is. It's not a real modern TV trope to have help, is it? I probably don't watch enough of it.
It's probably like an outdated idea now. They might have a personal assistant, but they're not going to cook and clean for them. They just organise their business lives.
What about on Meet the Kardashians or the show that they're on?
Meet the Kardashians.
Yeah, they'd have a helper.
I don't think they'd see them. They don't like to show them.
Right.
You don't see them.
Right.
No, you don't.
I heard that one of their security guards got fired for talking to Kim.
Oh.
He probably said, "Hello, where are we going tonight?"
Oh my god.
Well, I think, you definitely need more information because if, like, talking to Kim was him saying, "I'm going to fucking kill you in your sleep," then, fair enough.
Stupid bitch.
But if he said, thanks for having me, my shift is over, I'll catch you tomorrow, then that feels like an over.
She probably said, "I'm going to kill you in your fucking sleep."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then,
that's a good American accent.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Is it?
Thank you. Been working
Jess?
On it.
Jess, you've been to America.
I have.
How was that accent?
I thought that's actually a pretty good Kim, I thought.
Oh my god.
That's
Is it. That what she I didn't know. She sounds like the Valley Girl stereotype sort of.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
No, I can't. Oh my god.
This is what it's like a combination of that and that's all you hear.
I got no issues with her. She seems to be a bit of an easy target.
Oh, absolutely.
But what has she done wrong?
I don't know. Don't look at me. I don't care.
Jess, what has she done?
I don't know.
Jess, you're the one who brought her up, so so you could bring her down.
Yeah, on my favourite show, Meet the Kardashians.
Like, isn't that about the secret lives of their butlers and things like that? Yeah. That's what Matt would have us believe.
It's about a butcher called Kardashian.
Wait, what is the show called?
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
That is pretty close.
You gotta keep
close.
The K sound. They love K.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Anyway, we've spent maybe a little
too long talking about the Kardashians and not enough time talking about Van Gogh.
Van Gogh, the man of the hour, he's living in London as an art dealer now.
Yep.
Infatuated with his landlady's daughter.
Ooh, ooh la la.
Eugenie Lawyer.
Ugh, not good.
But was rejected after confessing his feelings, and she was secretly engaged to another former lodger.
Oh.
Secretly
Eugenie.
Engaged.
He grew more isolated. This really upset him. And remember, this is a happy time. His life was on the way out now. He became very religious, turned to religion.
Ah.
He transferred to Paris, but got fired when he grew critical of how the art dealership was commoditizing art, which is exactly what an art dealership does.
They deal in art. And that was his issue with
they
them.
Deal in them.
Too much dealing.
For money.
Oh,
too much money is being asked for these pieces.
Like, don't you understand what art is.
Which I find very...
It's not about money. Quote Jesse J, it's not about the money.
Money.
Jess, when we were up in the Northern Territory with that rock shop, do you remember that? And the
yes.
And I went to buy...
Oh my God.
I went to buy... He sort of took a disliking to...
He hated
us
all of us.
Because we're from Melbourne, or some of us...
Oh, fucking Melbourne.
No, that was pretty much his time.
And he goes... then I went... everyone was being very nice to him. He was just an old funny
in the middle of nowhere.
Just with a little rock shop. Like, just
Just define a rock shop. What's
like,
that mean?
Just bits of rock. Yeah. He was selling bits of rock. So I went up and there was...
Here's another one.
And there's like, it's not even a proper shop. It was like a shed and it just had like honk your horn so that he knew to come out to the shed so you could have a look around his shop.
Honk your horn if you want a rock. Beep, beep.
And every...
That's the rock alarm.
We drove up in two cars and at the front car... Sort of went, oh, this isn't what we thought it was going to be. And we're going to
head back.
So the
one behind beeps.
And I'm driving the car behind. I'm like, oh, they mustn't have seen the sign saying to beep.
Burr, burr. Then, no, Matt, no.
Yes, that's exactly what we were doing.
Rock guy starts running out. Hey, guys. Shit, we're stuck in a ditch.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And then he was like, you can come into the shop, but you can't go out the back. You can't go out the back. There's cameras out there. You can't go out the back. I'm busy. And we're like, he's got bodies out the back.
What does he mean? He's got cameras out there.
We don't know. He was a very creepy, strange man. Anyway.
But then, so I tried to buy one of these rocks. It was in a thing marked $2. And he said, I'm not taking your money. I'm like, oh, but it says $2. He says, no, that's what you'd think like in Melbourne.
We're not like that up here.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's like he doesn't want to make any money from his business, basically.
So Melbourne, selling things for money is very Melbourne.
Yeah.
So you could take it for free.
Yeah, he took it. It was like a weird way of doing something.
Do you think that the rock thing was...
a front?
No, I think that maybe that the $2 one is a test. And if you patronize him by buying, obviously, a shit rock, he's like, oh, they just think they have to buy something. $2, all right.
I don't know, he was such a strange human.
Fucking Melbourne!
He was awful. And then we asked him if he'd been to Melbourne before, and he just sort of started naming places in Melbourne. He's like, Flinders Street Station. And we're like, okay, so that's yes, you have been to Melbourne. And he goes,
Melbourne Airport.
He goes, once is enough. Okay, champ, it was probably 50 years ago, but yeah, cool. Thank you, have a lovely day, bye.
And where's that rock now? I bet it's taking pride of place.
Did you give it to somebody?
I gave it to our friend David.
David, yeah.
David.
Which is very nice.
What were we talking about?
Van Gogh.
We were talking about how the dealership.
He quit because...
Was it similar?
Yeah.
My good example of the rock guy?
It was similar
not
to the rock
to make
thing.
Money.
Someone said to him, I'd like to buy that painting. And he said, that's not how we do it in Paris, mate. I don't know about you in fucking Melbourne.
Yeah.
That's what I do enjoy that he doesn't like the idea of commoditizing art.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that now his paintings are some of the most expensive paintings in the whole world.
Yeah,
which we'll talk about.
Ooh, sizzle.
Do you think there's if he was listening to this podcast, which I think of as being art, do you think he'd be pretty anti the whole Patreon thing
we are commoditizing our art, aren't we?
Commoditizing is such a... I've never heard it said before.
I like
it. And now I've heard it said a good amount of times. Commoditizing.
Yeah, I reckon he'd be like, you guys are selling out. You used to just pod for the love of pod. Now you're all about the money grubbing. It's not about that.
Money, money.
It's not about that. And we're like, we just want to eat. Please.
We just want to eat. Please.
It's a good song. A
little song I just...
That's cute.
Just came up with.
What do you think of his song, Dave?
So great.
Ja-jang, ja-jang. Ba-bang, ba-bang.
Now it sounds like you're singing zombie.
Zombie.
Yeah. Which is, it's very similar metaphor for the commodifying of art.
Mm-hmm.
Or the
commoditization.
Commoditization.
I feel like it's probably not a word, but who cares? April 1876, Van Gogh returned to England, taking unpaid work as a supply teacher.
What?
Yes. In a small boarding school.
I'm not taking your money. They offered him thousands.
He said no.
I'm a not supply teacher.
Commodify. Commoditize. Commoditize.
No, I think, so a supply teacher, well, that's just like an emergency teacher.
Ah, yes.
But if anyone, he's got, one, has no training, two, he's doing it for free. If you walked into the school and said, any teacher's away, I'll do it for nothing, you'd be like, that's fucking weird.
That's creepy.
You can't be alone with the kids.
You know you can't touch them. Oh, never mind. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Then you see him in a paddock. Anybody watching these cows, I'll do it.
I'll do it. You know you can't touch them. Oh.
See ya.
How about these rocks? $2 a piece. No one's watching these rocks.
I got to stop saying watch. Hey, anyone touching
these
cows? All right, now that you've been clear, yes, please do. No one is. Position is vacant. And so is there.
Thank you.
No,
that's enough.
Yeah.
He then did
stare.
Many.
So is there stare.
Yes.
Yeah. He then did many jobs over a short period of time. A minister's assistant. He worked in a bookshop.
Minister's assistant.
Yeah, have you said it really quick?
Minister's assistant. He worked in a bookshop.
And as a minister's assistant.
Uh-huh.
And then moved back to Amsterdam and attempted the university's theology entrance exam. He failed that. He undertook but also failed a three-month course at a Protestant missionary school near Brussels.
How did he fail that?
Did not mind having a crack, though.
No, he had a crack. He then... So he didn't pass the test, but he took up a post as a missionary in Belgium. To show support for his impoverished congregation, he gave up his comfortable lodgings at a bakery to a homeless person and moved to a small hut where he slept on straw.
Oh.
So he's quite a giving...
Well, you'd think so. You think that the church would look kindly upon that. No, but his squalid living conditions did not endear him to church authorities, who dismissed him for, quote, undermining the dignity of the priesthood.
Ugh.
Well, that feels like they've got that upside down.
Yeah.
Well, you just helped people.
That's not what we're about.
That's not very Christian.
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do?
Take the 5-star hotel.
That's right. Did Jesus ever sleep in some sort of barn?
I don't think so.
I do not think so. Never saw hay in his fucking life. Van Gogh did not take kindly to this. He cracked it and walked 75 kilometres or 47 miles to Brussels. He walked home.
He walked to, wow.
To Brussels, 75k.
That's a decent walk, I reckon.
That's not a bad walk.
Not a bad walk.
You really clear your head on 75k.
That's an, all right, halfway through, you're like, oh, this is longer than I thought.
Yeah.
Halfway through, halfway. You've just done a marathon.
Yeah. He's just doubled a marathon.
2Ks in, I'm like, this was a mistake.
Yeah.
I should have got an Uber. What am I doing? God. Is there a tram nearby?
I imagine the roads were all beautifully paved back then. And he would have been wearing very comfortable Nike sneakers.
Yeah, you're right.
So I think he would have been fine.
It would have been like a nice day too, like sunny, but a cool breeze, so it's not hot.
And he would have had like a Tour de France style support crew.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, building tents and things for him at night. And
would have had one of those hats with a couple of drink bottles on the sides.
A foam dome.
Foam dome.
Got a couple of coldies in there.
Yeah,
had a great time. He had an Apple Watch. Check the weather. Oh, it's beautiful.
Listen to his favourite podcasts and hot tracks.
Podcasts do help a walk.
They do.
I walked home from the studio yesterday. It was about a 45-minute walk. It flew by.
What did you bloody listen to?
I was listening to... you know, Nick Capper's podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Highway to Nothing.
Highway to Nothing.
A fellow... So we're hosted by the SoPod, Stupid Old Podcasting... Mm-hmm. It's kind of a podcasting network, you'd say.
Yeah.
Fellow, we should... it's a good podcast. I really do enjoy that. Great Nick podcast. Capper, Highway to Nothing.
I've recorded one that'll come out someday.
Me too.
Oh, cool. Well, we will be plugging the shit out of that then, guys. Don't listen to him yet. Wait for Manchester.
Yeah, fuck that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
He returned to his parents back in Netherlands, and he fought with his father, who already wanted to commit the young man to an asylum.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so he was already showing signs of mental fatigue, let's say. He then returned back to Belgium and became interested in the people and scenes around him and recorded them in drawings after his brother Theo suggested it would be a good thing to do. He went to Brussels, studied under a renowned artist who encouraged Van Gogh. So the guy's called Willem Roloffs, if anyone's really into art. He encouraged Van Gogh to study drawing properly at an art school, which is, he always thought that real artists shouldn't study, but he got told otherwise. So he went to university where he studied anatomy and the standard rules of modelling and perspective.
It's kind of like people who are like, I'm going to go to a workshop and learn comedy. And you're like, really? You're gonna learn that. Art, I think, is a little bit different.
I thought you were about to say that you can't. I was going to say you can definitely learn perspective.
It's like
and
when
how.
Totally.
Doctors are like, oh, you're going to go to doctor school, are you? Well, that's bullshit. I'm operating now and I'm self-taught.
Yeah.
Pass me the scalpels.
School of fucking life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And fucking up this person who just died. Sorry about that. And by the way, sir, yes, your wife will not make it.
I've killed dozens of people and I haven't learned a thing. So, how about that?
She's here for a haircut.
Oh, shit.
Not a face cut? Oh, my mistake.
My mistake. Oh, that's going to take a while to heal. In the summer of 1881,
a good year.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you said it. Continuing to draw, Van Gogh moved back home and fell in love with his recently widowed cousin.
Okay.
Kivos Stricker was her name.
Kivos.
Middle name Vos Stricker.
Beautiful name.
Vos Stricker.
Kivos, very pretty.
He proposed marriage to Kivos Stricker, but was rebuffed with an adamant,
"You're my cousin."
Nuit neen nimmer, which means no, nay, never.
Ouch.
Which is a bit of a horrible thing to hear. But undeterred, he nevertheless continued to press his attention.
Have you guys got any hot cousins?
None that I would I'd propose to you more than once.
Sure.
I'd say that. They say no, I'm moving on.
You wouldn't press your... What did he press?
Press his attention.
His attention. That's not a euphemism, is it?
No, it was just
like
been here.
For
just
pressing his balls against the window or something.
And she's like, no, never.
I am pressing my attentions on your bedroom window.
She's just like, get out of it. Get out of it. Undeterred. Despite the increasing dismay and disapproval of his family, which eventually led to his leaving the family home again for a while, he decided to continue to express his feelings. Until in 1881, a letter to Theo, he wrote, quote, "To express my feelings for Key, I said resolutely, she and no other. And her no, nay, never was not strong enough to make me give her up.
Yeah.
I still had hope and my love remained, notwithstanding this refusal, which I thought was like a piece of ice that would melt." He thought he could win her over.
No means no, Gok.
But then he went to Amsterdam to visit her, and her family told her, quote, told him, "When you are in the house, Key leaves it. She answers, certainly not him. To your she and no other, your persistence is disgusting."
Ugh.
This is Vincent writes this. "I put my hand in the flame of a lamp and said, let me see her as long as I can keep my hand in the flame. But they blew out the lamp." I love that. Such a pound. He's like, I can suffer forever. Oh, fuck.
I can suffer no more. Good day. That's very clever.
And they said, "You shall not see her." And this incident reportedly made Van Gogh stop believing in God, and he never took up faith again.
Okay.
So how easy God comes to him and leaves again. On Christmas Day that year, he refused to, which is only a few days later, he refused to attend church, provoking a violent quarrel with his father, who's the pastor, which resulted in him leaving home the very same day. So he's left home about 700 times.
Mm, he's one of those kids.
One of those guys. No, nay, never.
It's different this time, Mum. It's a startup business. We're going to be fine.
It's a startup. You know, like Facebook.
I'm going to be rich one day, Mum. You just got to give me time. Now I'm not going to pay any rent.
Fuck off, Mum.
Can we have spaghetti for dinner, please? Thank you.
My favourite. And it's cheap.
Jess just moved out of home for the first time as a 26-year-old woman.
Okay, all right.
And
is demanding spaghetti from her housemate every night.
Every night. She's never home at night. She works nights. But I'm still... I message her and I'm like...
Spaghetti for breakfast?
Where my sketty at, bitch?
Where my sketty at? Where my sketty at?
That's how I used to ask Mum. That's how I'm going to ask you.
Yeah. She gets it.
Put it in the bowl, bitch.
Are you saying... Is it quite sad to move out for the first time at 26? I was pretty much 25.
Pretty much 25.
It was like 4 days after I turned 26.
What are we talking about?
How old were you when you first moved out?
I was also pretty late. 24? Mm-hmm. About this time 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was 23.
Didn't your parents have the rule of 23?
They did have that rule.
Is that a rule? So did it get to your 23rd birthday? Happy birthday, Matt.
Your bags are packed.
Out you go.
Stop putting your balls on the window.
I turned 23 overseas, though, so I came back and...
And you just went... Have you not been allowed back in the family home since?
Yeah.
Even for Christmas?
They'd packed up his stuff. It was out on the curb.
I think I sort of took that in arrears, sort of. Is that the right...
In your rear?
Oh, no, hang on. Oh, what a mess we've got ourselves into. I took the time that I had from when I was overseas and I tacked that on.
Oh, sure.
So I stayed a bit longer.
Were you on sick leave?
Yeah, sick leave.
From your family home?
I cashed in my sick leave.
Yeah, well, I was away for 6 weeks, so...
I got an extra six weeks.
At half time. I did. So really, actually, that's 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Just remember, I did move back once as well.
Oh, nice.
Had a breakup. I was living with a lady and we broke up. And I was like, oh, fuck, we were...
Yep.
That's made a bit of a mess of the plans. So I moved back into my old room, which was a storage then, and didn't change anything. So I had to get into my bed, I had to climb over boxes.
No, really?
Yeah. And I'm... Yeah.
You could have moved them, but you're like, no.
Well, it was too temporary. Proud. It was temporary.
And how long was temporary?
It was a few months.
Yeah.
Of climbing over boxes, but too proud to move them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway...
I know it's hard to keep track, but Van Gogh is still in the Netherlands.
Sure.
He started to focus on painting and drawing, and in August 1884, Margot Begeman, a neighbour's daughter and 10 years his senior, began joining him on his painting forays, when you go out and find stuff to paint. She fell in love, and he reciprocated, I love this, although less enthusiastically.
Oh, yeah, she was more into him.
Brutal.
Yeah.
They decided to marry, but the idea was opposed by both families, following which Margot took an overdose of strychnine.
What the fuck?
She was saved when Van Gogh rushed her to a nearby hospital, but they didn't end up ever getting married.
Why did the families...
Is it because she's older?
Older. I think he wasn't wealthy, so that's probably what their family would have wanted.
I know, but she's over the hill. Like, if anybody's going to marry her, they should be grateful. You know what I mean? She's old.
And he's...
She's practically dead.
She's
even before
gross.
The strychnine.
She's so young.
He's about 30 as well. They're both... Neither of them are young in the olden days.
Mm.
And he's like a sad loser. Like, yeah. I mean, both of them should be just...
Just let him be happy, sad losers.
Even Or maybe the parents are like, oh, he clearly doesn't love you as much as you love him. This is fucking sad. Don't do it.
That's sad.
The next year, his father died of a heart attack, so tragedy,
great.
Tragedy.
Great.
During his 2 years stay in the town of Newnan, he completed numerous drawings and watercolours and nearly 200 oil paintings.
Wow.
He was starting to really paint every day. His palette at the time, though, consisted mainly of somber earth tones, particularly dark browns, and showed no vivid colours. So anything that you imagine Van Gogh now,
mm-hmm.
he wasn't doing that yet.
Mm.
His brother, who was actually quite a successful art dealer, he got into that business but stayed in and did well.
Theo
tried to sell some of his paintings but had no luck. There's a record of Van Gogh saying to Theo that he wasn't trying hard enough to sell them, but he contended that his paintings were too dark and not like the impressionist paintings that were taking off at the time.
Okay.
Which is funny because Van Gogh is known to history as one of the most important post-impressionists.
Hmm.
Helped to kill impressionism. There you go. He moved to Antwerp in 1885, where he rented a small room above a paint dealer's shop. He lived in poverty and ate poorly, preferring to spend money on painting materials and models people he could hire to paint. Bread, coffee, and tobacco were his staple diet.
Ooh.
Bread, coffee, and tobacco. That sounds...
Coffee and toast? I'm happy with that.
Yeah, that's
coffee and toast.
Bloody great. Well, oh, do you know
I don't
what?
Think, wouldn't even have toast?
No toast.
Because in February 1886, he wrote to Theo he could only remember eating six hot meals in the past 8 months.
Okay, because I was going to say...
Toast is a hot meal.
You get a bit of...
A bit warm.
Avo. You pop a tomato in the oven.
Oh.
A bit of roast tomato. Balsamic glaze. Mm-hmm.
Oh, can
mm-hmm.
we just pause for half an hour or so?
We just get our two chefs in here.
Yeah.
Smash Daphne. That
Daphne.
Daphne and Niles.
Delish.
Oh, match made in heaven. Because of his bad diet and not looking after himself, his tooth became loose and teeth became loose and painful.
Ew.
He also began to drink heavily.
Oh.
Especially absinthe was his drink.
Sure.
Mm. Which... Absinthe at the time is much stronger than it is now. So it could affect your mind.
Yeah.
So to speak.
It was a hallucinogenic.
Yeah,
something.
So if you're prone to mental illness, probably not a good thing.
Hallucinogen. Good.
Commoditization. he moved to Paris in 1886, where he shared the apartment with his brother Theo, where they wrote the passive aggressive notes to each other.
Theo, stop drinking the last beer, you dumb shit.
Vino began to experiment with colour and made friends with a lot of other artists.
Surely it'd be Vinny, but yeah, okay, keep going.
Vino had a bit of conflict with his brother Theo.
Oh, no.
And at the end of 1886, Theo found living with Vincent, he wrote another letter to be almost unbearable.
I don't think I could live with my brother.
You don't think so? Did you do that for a few years, I imagine?
Yeah, about 18.
And?
He moved out and it was much better.
Really?
Yes.
But then you get on better with them after, right?
Yeah.
That's what happened with me and my siblings.
Yeah.
It was, it's always tense living in close quarters.
Especially because it's generally while your teenagers are in your early 20s.
Yeah.
So you don't...
You need your bloody space.
You need your space and you don't particularly like each other and you haven't figured out who you are. And now we get along.
I've always known who I am.
Yeah, I bet you have.
What am I? Festive boy.
Festive boy.
I mean, festive boy since I was 5 years old.
Festive boy since 95.
Rocking on. But fear not, unlike Jess and her brother, the brothers patched it up. They learned to keep living together. And they also made friends with the French artist Paul Gauguin. You ever heard of Gauguin?
Yes.
I think some of his stuff was just in Melbourne, wasn't it? Wasn't there a little... I don't know what I'm talking about.
I believe I saw Gauguin at the Guggenheim in 1975.
Also underappreciated in his lifetime, Gauguin's painting called When Will You Marry was sold for a record price of $300 million
what?
In 2015.
What?
That's the most expensive.
So that's the most expensive painting sold at auction so far.
That's quite amazing.
That's
a Gauguin.
Gauguin. I know. Not like one that you... Probably not the... A very famous artist, I will say, but maybe probably not the top five most famous artists.
And what's it called? When Will You Marry?
Not a Ninja Turtle.
I want to look it up.
Yeah, you can look it up. You'll tell me that it's not worth $300 million because... But
nothing
then I would argue that nothing is.
Yeah, I can't think of... I mean, I am an art enthusiast. I wouldn't say enthusiast, but appreciator. But I can't... I would not be able to justify spending that much money on art.
I don't know
a lot
about art.
That's not worth
art.
That's not worth...
I don't know a lot about art.
But you know what you like.
$300 million.
I have no idea.
Dave, $300 million?
$300 million. Show it to me.
Matt, you going to pay $300 million for that?
Yeah, I mean...
That's it.
I mean, it's quite nice. I enjoy it.
It depends. Is it printed on a doona?
Is it
or a
Ferrari?
Towel or a Ferrari?
Oh, okay.
Or 300 Ferraris?
Yeah, no.
That's actually 300 Ferraris driven very closely together.
Yeah, because then we're starting to get close to it, I think.
Yeah. Okay. No, fair enough.
The thing is, if you look behind the painting, there's enough food for the bottom half of Africa.
Just the bottom half.
Yep.
Interesting.
$300 million.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So it's more like a sheet.
It's a big sheet.
Well, it's hiding.
It's wrapping paper.
No, it's more of a.
It's a wrapping paper from the festive boy.
It's got a. It's a secret vault.
How do you know so much about it?
He loves art.
Oh, I get it.
Love wrapping paper.
Because you're festive boy.
Festive boy. Towards the end of the year, Vincent arranged an exhibition alongside some of his contemporaries, but did not sell any of his paintings. Oh dear.
Bully.
Ill from drink and suffering from smoker's cough in February 1888, Van Gogh sought refuge in Arles in the south of France.
Mm-hmm.
This time in Arles became one of Van Gogh's more prolific periods. He completed 200 paintings and 100 drawings and watercolours. He was enchanted by the local landscape and light. His paintings included harvests, wheat fields, and general rural landmarks from the area. So there's some real famous ones from this time.
Mm-hmm.
He moved into the Yellow House, a famous yellow house in which he lived and formed a studio where he painted some of his most well-known paintings, including a painting of the house itself,
mm-hmm.
the Yellow House.
Mm-hmm. What did he call that one?
What was that called?
The Yellow House.
Ah!
He was pretty literal. The paintings that he did inside the Yellow House were all to decorate the Yellow House itself.
Oh.
Including the painting of the Yellow House.
Wow.
There's a lot of Yellow House here. This is the Yellow House section of the podcast.
I think I'm going to go home and take a photo of my building.
Is it yellow?
No.
Oh.
But I'm going to then print that, frame it, and then put that inside the apartment.
Mm.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's like Inception. It's Artception.
Houseception.
Houseception.
What's your building like?
Pretty average looking.
Right.
It's quite nice on the inside.
Are you high up?
I'm on the top floor, baby, but of two floors.
Oh, top of two.
Top of two.
One is better than two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your office is yellow here. You got a yellow.
I got a yellow office
yellow
here. Yeah.
Oh, we'll get you a print of the yellow house to hang in the yellow office.
Oh, that's
good. That's good. That's very good.
That's good. We'll do that.
Oh my God, guys.
Do you have a spare 330 mil?
I don't. Do you?
Yes. I was hoping you would, though, because I was going to use mine for something else.
What are you going to use yours for?
Freeding the northern half of Africa.
Oh, that seems more noble than a painting for my office.
Well, you know, it's not a competition, Jess, but there you go. You lost.
Cop that. Van Gogh was desperate to set up an artist colony and collective. So when Gauguin agreed to visit the Yellow House in 1888, Vincent was stoked. He hadn't been playing it cool and had been begging Gauguin to come for months. Please come to the Yellow House.
Please.
And after much pleading from Van Gogh, Gauguin arrived in Arles on the 23rd of October, and in November, the two started to paint together.
Oh, so they had like a week off, like a week of just bonding and like wine
montage.
And cheese. Yeah, yeah.
They're painting like arms in, like around like clay style and ghost movie.
Yeah, and they're just like skipping through fields.
Really
on the roof of an open double-decker bus.
Yeah, looking at things, pointing, laughing. Oh my God, they're laughing so much.
Tom Jones is singing to them.
Yeah.
But it's not unusual.
They're having like lattes and then, but then one of them says something funny and the other like spits out some of their coffee. Like, oh no.
And then they have spaghetti together.
Oh.
Oh dear, Lady and the Tramp. Oh, here we go, here we go. They've kissed.
Oh, that's nice.
At first, things were great, as you can tell from our montage.
Great montage.
But then their relationship began to deteriorate.
Somebody wasn't making enough spaghetti.
So now there's a bit of a montage of getting angry, throwing clothes on the floor.
One person walking into the bathroom and there's towels all over the bathroom. And they're like, again.
That's awful.
Or there's all this rubbish as the bins weren't taken out. It's like, oh!
They were the original Odd Couple.
Yeah.
Van Gogh admired Gauguin and wanted to be treated as his equal. But Gauguin was arrogant and domineering, which frustrated Van Gogh. Not surprising.
Mm.
They often quarrelled. Van Gogh increasingly feared that Gauguin was going to desert him, and the situation, which Van Gogh described as one of excessive tension, rapidly headed towards crisis point.
Uh-oh.
It was during the upcoming crisis that one of the most famous incidents in the history of art would occur.
Bum, bum.
That's all we have time for this week. No, we will continue. Gauguin claimed 15 years later that the night followed several instances of physically threatening behaviour. Their behaviour was quite complex. And Theo, the brother, may have owed money to Gauguin, who was suspicious that the brothers were exploiting him financially because, you know, Gauguin's selling. He's not a successful artist, but he's selling more than Van Gogh is mm-hmm. in his lifetime. So they were using him to help pay for the house a bit too much. It seems likely that Van Gogh had realized that Gauguin was planning to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Paranoia creeping in. On the 23rd of December, after days of rain, with the two men shut in the Yellow House together, which is not good if you're having a big fight and then you can't go outside and get away from it. You're stuck in a small studio.
Yeah.
Like us, if we get locked in this studio, I think we'd survive about 5 minutes.
Before we have a fight. God, if lucky. You're being very generous with 5 minutes, though, champ, I'd rip your face off.
I'd assert my dominance straight away.
Like, it's like I'm imagining Matt trying to leave first and the door's a bit jammed, so I just immediately rip Dave's face off. And then Matt's panicking. Like, oh no, here we go.
And you're like, sorry about your face, Dave.
There was just a chair on the other side. There we go. Whoops, a daisy. Like, oh no, but I already ripped Dave's face off.
Catch you guys next week.
Matt, tell him it was much longer than 2 minutes. Please.
Hey, Dave, I think it looks good. Really brings out your pompadour.
What, a faceless pompadour?
Yeah.
All the blood.
It really
looks...
brings all the attention to your pompadour. Yeah,
because that's all that's left to look at.
Oh no, I would never.
So after the 2 days of being stuck inside with the rain, Gauguin later reported that Van Gogh followed when Gauguin left the house for a walk and rushed towards him with an open razor in his hand.
What?
So they had a bit of a fight, and after an altercation.
Altercation.
After a heart altercation. After the altercation with Gauguin, Van Gogh returned to his room where he was assaulted by voices, so inside his own head. And he severed his left ear with a razor. And accounts differ how much he cut off. Either the bottom half, or some people say he cut off the whole ear.
Yuck.
Which this caused severe bleeding.
Oh, did it now?
Yes. Yes, it did.
Cutting off part of your head.
That is unlucky. He must have hit some sort of a blood tube.
A blood tube.
It's unlucky.
That is unlucky, because there's only three major blood tubes in the ear. So,
is that the technical term for them too? A blood tube?
Yeah. I reckon probably 7 out of 10 times you could cut an ear off without hitting a...
Without any blood at all?
Yeah.
Wow.
Clean cut.
Cool. How unlucky.
Dry cut?
Yeah, it's, I mean, still 30% of times it
would
happen.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, that's not a small...
He was actually... Not unheard of. He was actually so unlucky that
It is unheard of, because they can't bloody hear it, because they cut their ear off.
He's earless.
I'll be at the Comedy Festival 2017.
He did accidentally nip his heart.
What?
Nip his heart.
Through the ear.
Did he now?
That is not true. Okay. That is. I'm so sorry.
Nip his
I did
heart.
Not believe you.
It was a medical...
Anomaly.
Joke.
A joke.
Is that how you say that?
It was a yuck.
He bandaged the wound and wrapped the ear in paper. So he's got the ear, or the piece of ear.
Yuck.
He delivered the package to a woman at a brothel that both Van Gogh and Gauguin both frequented.
What? I was thinking like...
Gave her the ear.
Like if you accidentally cut off your finger or something, you pop it on ice and you take it with you to the hospital. That's what I was thinking. Like he wrapped it up. No, he took it to a brothel.
Yeah, he took it to a brothel and gave
it to a
woman.
That's a weird thing to do,
I reckon. That's a very weird thing to do.
He's not well at this point, I'll be honest.
That's a very good point.
First sign of him not doing well.
Mm.
He was found unconscious the next morning by a policeman and taken to hospital, where Felix Ray, a young doctor still in training, treated him. If I've cut off my ear, I want the top doctor.
No, I want the doctor in training.
They want it more.
Yeah.
They got something to prove.
Do you reckon they'll give you more attention?
Yeah, I think so.
They're going to be more thorough.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be more thorough.
I reckon they've seen it less,
mm-hmm.
but they're impressed by it.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm coming around. In fact, I want someone who's never had it. I want the doctor who is just doing it, like we were talking about before.
That's what I want. Yeah, absolutely.
They'll figure it out.
I don't want someone who's doing it for money.
Ugh.
It's fucked
Dirty.
Up.
Dirty.
I want the guy who couldn't touch any kids or cows, but they would let him touch sick people.
Oh, Van Gogh.
He's touched a couple of years in his time. Who hasn't? I've touched a couple of years. Touching one right now.
Wait, what are you saying?
Well, that's an ear.
Ear. I thought you were saying ewes.
Yeah, I've cupped a couple of ewes in time.
Cupped a couple of ewes.
Matt. What's weird about that sentence?
I've cupped a couple of ewes.
I've cupped a couple of ewes. It's like a job interview. All right, what can you bring to this role? Cupped a couple of ewes in my time.
Life experience.
Sorry? I have cupped a couple of ewes in my time. Sorry. Do you not speak English at this fucking job?
I really enjoyed that act out.
Thank you.
You're going to be a star, kid, a star. See?
I'm a festive boy. The ear was also delivered to the hospital to Felix Ray, okay. But he did not attempt to reattach it as too much time had passed.
Yeah.
You got to chuck that shit on ice.
Took it to the brothel
or,
first.
I don't know if this is true. In milk. Have you heard that?
Excuse me?
Cut off a finger. Chuck it in milk. Honestly... if you are at home in a crisis and this has just happened, Google it before you do that because I don't know if it's true.
Yeah, I'm picturing it like, you know, your fingers go all funny in a bath. Imagine it sitting in milk.
They go all pruny.
It feels like it, yeah, it'll just swallow.
Why do you have to put it in your eyes?
Hang on. I've just confused medical advice with my fetish again.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Fingering milk.
Fingering milk.
I don't fully get it.
Hey, I don't have to explain myself to you.
I guess that's what makes use. It a fetish. I use milk.
I'm going to cup you. Yeah, milk from a ewe.
That's how you get the milk from you. You cup them.
Got to cup them. Matt's miming grabbing teats.
Sheep teat.
Nothing weird about that, mate. Just natural sheep teat. I've cupped a couple of ewes sheep teats in my time. Oh, sorry. I didn't realise that was the context. You're hired. That was the second half of the job interview.
After he just said, don't you speak English in this fucking job, yeah. They still hired him.
Yeah, that's how qualified I am as a doctor of podcasting. When he awoke in hospital, Van Gogh himself had no recollection of the event. Gauguin, who, was sort of part of the incident, immediately notified Vincent's brother Theo, who arrived the next day on Christmas Day. During the first days of his treatment, Van Gogh repeatedly and unsuccessfully asked for Gauguin.
God, he's obsessed with him.
Yes. Who had left for Paris.
Yes.
He'd left for Paris and he never saw Van Gogh again.
Yeah, no, good call.
Sad.
He's a psycho.
It just seems like he gets pretty obsessed with people.
Yeah.
Yes, very obsessed.
And the one time somebody got obsessed with him, she took not a bunch of behind. Yeah. Maybe that's not. It. He just, okay. He
loves to chase.
Yeah, he loves to chase.
Thrill of the chase.
Don't we all, though?
Oh, yeah.
Big
time. Big time.
He made it home.
I can still picture Dave chasing them ewes around the paddock. He loves it. He loves it.
Let me cup you. Let me cup you, little ewes. Oh, no.
Let me cup you.
Oh, no, I've dropped my tweezers down the well.
Oh, now the story comes out.
Yeah, makes sense.
All right, I wasn't tweezing the brow at all. I don't have enough hair on my face for that. Jesus.
I was tweezing some youths.
Tweezing some youths. That's highly illegal.
Highly illegal.
Van Gogh made it home early in January, a couple of weeks later. But he spent the following months between hospital and home because he was having hallucinations.
Oh, no.
In March, the police closed his house after a petition from 30 townspeople who described him as Le Fourou, the red-headed madman.
Oh, boy.
He went back to hospital and voluntarily entered an asylum. He gifted Dr. Felix, a doctor that had been looking after him, a painting that he'd done called Portrait of Dr. Felix Ray.
Oh.
The physician was not fond of the painting and used it to repair a chicken coop.
Oh, my God.
And then later gave it away. In 2016, the portrait was housed at the Pushkin Museum of Fine Arts and was estimated to be worth over $50 million.
Holy shit.
It was once part of a chicken coop.
Was it? Yeah, so they'd taken it off the chicken coop.
Yeah, and then sold it to someone else who down the line had sold it and now it's worth $50 million.
I was enjoying picturing it in the museum, still part of a chicken coop.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Like that'd be
with really old chickens.
That's
the chickens are still there.
170, just bones of chicken. What's that? That's a chicken.
No, they're still alive.
Oh, sorry, the world's oldest chickens.
World's oldest chickens.
Well, no, that's worth $50 million.
Yeah, that's worth more. They've got some stories. Those chickens.
Old chooks.
At a chaplain's suggestion, Van Gogh chose to be at an asylum in nearby Saint-Rémy. His mental condition remained stable for a while, and he was able to create some of his most famous work now, including Starry Night.
Ah. You know,
beautiful night sky. He had a few relapses, but eventually seemed to be coming good and was discharged and went to live in an artist commune in northern Paris.
Hmm.
Vincent's health was then up and down, as documented in letters to his brother. Sometimes he would talk of being happy, and then other times he'd just the opposite. After living in the commune...
Sad.
Thank you, man. Subtext.
Just for our American listeners.
Yeah, bit of translation needed.
Opposite of happy, sad.
Oh, is it?
Mm.
Americans are notoriously happy all the time.
So they wouldn't know about sadness.
No word. Eskimos have no word for sad.
Inuits, Dave. Inuits. And it's actually, it's fish? No, what? Ice.
No, it's...
What? They've got a million words for...
for snow.
Snow.
Not a million.
A million, Jess. You get out of here if you're not.
I spend all day.
All day.
Coming up with new words. Yeah.
They've part of the culture.
They're very cold. After living in the commune, this is the artist commune, for 3 months, his brother Theo started to suspect he was having problems again and suggested Vincent consult a doctor, but he was too into his art and said he was devoting too much time to his canvases. Then, on July 27th, 1890, Van Gogh left the inn where he was staying. He left after breakfast, but did not return as usual.
Uh-oh.
When he had not returned by dusk, the family he was staying with became worried. He finally arrived home after nightfall, somewhere around 9 p.m, clutching his stomach, clearly in pain. The mother of the family asked whether there was a problem. Van Gogh started to answer with difficulty. He said, "No, but I have," and then just went up the stairs. Didn't finish the sentence.
Oh, that's ominous.
The father thought he could hear groans and found Van Gogh curled up in bed. When he asked whether he was ill, Van Gogh showed him a wound near his heart, explaining, "I tried to kill myself." Mm. During the night, Van Gogh admitted he had set out for the wheat field where he had been painting, as he did every day, but during the afternoon he'd shot himself with a revolver in the chest and passed out. The cold air of the night had woken him up, and then he decided to walk home.
What?
So depressing.
He shot himself in the chest.
In the chest, I know.
He got up and went to bed.
Yeah, he went home to bed.
Oh, no.
They called the doctor Dr. Gachet.
Oh, okay. And great doctor name.
There's a great, one of the most expensive paintings ever sold is called Portrait of Dr. Gachet.
That's good because Van Gogh had a pretty bad gachet in his chest.
Very good. He dressed the gachet but left immediately because he considered it to be a hopeless case.
Oh, what?
The doctor doesn't stick around.
No. The father of the inn and the artist, Anton Hirsching, spent the night at Van Gogh's bedside. The artist sometimes smoked, sometimes groaned, but remained silent all night long, dozing off from time to time. As soon as the post office opened on Monday, they sent a telegram to his brother Theo, who had arrived by train during the afternoon. He watched over Van Gogh, who fell into a coma and died at 1 o'clock in the morning, 37 years old.
Oh, wow.
One of the final things he said to his brother, who told him they'd try and make him better, is one of the saddest things I've ever said. He said, "This sadness will last forever."
Oh.
It's one of the last things he ever said, isn't it?
That's really sad.
Extremely poetic.
It's very poetic. I had no idea he had such a life.
Such a life.
Yeah.
Theo's health deteriorated in the months after the death of his brother. He himself was admitted to a psychiatric hospital.
Aww.
A few months later. He died January 1891, just 6 months after his brother.
Aww.
1914, Theo's body was exhumed and reburied with his brother in the northwestern suburbs of Paris. In two very... you'd expect one of the most famous artists of all time to have a great grave. Just a very...
normal.
Very normal looking gravestone.
Oh, wow.
Vincent was known to sell only one painting in his lifetime. It was called The Red Vineyard. A Belgian artist, Anna Bock, an art collector, she bought the painting in early 1890. So the year he died is the only time he ever sold something.
Wow.
For 400 francs, about $2,000 today. It's thought that maybe she liked the painting or maybe she just wanted to support Van Gogh, who was being criticised for his work at the time. He did, that was the only one he ever definitely sold. He did, however, trade paintings for food and supplies. So in a way, he gave away lots of his work. In his lifetime, he's known to have created about a little over 2,000 artworks, including nearly 900 oil paintings. So if he died with no one knowing who he was, when did respect for the artist take off? So I'm going to finish here. Theo wanted to make his brother famous after his death and tried to raise his profile, but before sadly dying himself, as I said. Oh. So Theo's widow, Jo Van Gogh Bonga.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Because at first I was like, Joe. It's just Joe Van Gogh.
Joe Van Gogh sounds good, but Jo Van Gogh Bonga.
Bonga. There we go.
She set about completing the task of raising her brother-in-law's fame. She sold some of Vincent's works, loaned others out for exhibitions, and also, very importantly, published the letters between Van Gogh and Theo, and people became fascinated with his tragic life.
Oh, wow.
And that sort of...
built his profile.
Had to build his profile, and then other people were like, oh, hang on, these are actually amazing.
Wow.
But it sounds like it was within her lifetime, so not too long after.
No, well, the year after he died, there were retrospectives of his art in Brussels and in Paris. And during the 1890s, there were several stages across the Netherlands and Belgium where he'd done a lot of work. So his profile's raised within a couple of years of his death in that part. And then art galleries started buying his work across the world, including the Museum of Modern Art in New York and the Tate in London. So
yeah, wow.
Who owns the who's got the big ones? Who's got Starry Night and the Self Portraits?
Well, any gallery that's something has a Van Gogh.
Right.
No, well,
because there's so many.
Well, there's the Van Gogh Museum.
Yeah, well, there's the Van Gogh Museum.
Amsterdam.
Yeah. Been there.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
I walked past there.
Very good. One of 2 million people that visit every year now.
2 million.
So 2 million. A guy that thought he'd died of failure.
Yeah. Incredible.
Isn't that absolutely bizarre?
So you didn't go to Alcatraz and you didn't go to the Van Gogh Museum.
Someone's been giving me a bit of shit on Twitter about watching the gridiron game instead of going to the... Going to see the prison? I still like. Let's go see something that happened in the olden days. Look, taking some culture right now. This is American culture happening before my eyes. Great, great day.
Having a great time.
No regrets.
No regrets. You can't have them.
No regrets. I'm just going to finally finish with the value of Van Gogh's work.
Wow.
So he probably only sold one painting in his lifetime for about $2,000. Mm-hmm. But on the all-time most expensive paintings ever sold list, Vincent has 8 paintings.
What?
All sold for, all up, $723 million.
Oh my God.
5 of them, when they were sold, were the most expensive paintings ever sold at the time. And the last one was in 1997, so they've just gone up.
Wow.
Because they're so rare that it's people don't sell them. And that's just the ones that have been sold. Most of them, across the world, are the galleries that have them. They would be worth multi billions of dollars.
That is crazy.
And he died.
He died thinking like he'd done nothing.
Yeah, isn't that absolutely tragic? But there you go.
Wow.
The story of Van Gogh's ear.
That is.
And the tragic life around his ear.
That is a great story. That is a really great story. I didn't know a lot of that.
Right. At the museum, do they talk about that?
Yeah, it was three years ago. I don't know.
Mainly looking at the painting. I would like to go. I've never been to the Netherlands, and I would love to go to see some of those.
You should go. It's very beautiful. And the museum's very good. And the artwork is quite good.
Yeah, really. Yeah. I walked past it on my way to a brewery in a windmill, which was awesome.
So good.
That's culture.
Culture.
That's culture, guys. That's culture
with a capital C. Capital K.
Culture.
Capital K for Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, there you go. Your favourite. Kim Kardashian culture. That was a great report, Dave. Well done.
Thank you kindly. Yeah. A great story. And I'm fascinated by his life, but also a bit of a tragic one at the end there. Sorry to bring the somberness down. But, I mean, maybe it just gives us all hope. If you feel like you're not doing well.
Just wait till you die.
I'm just remembering. We did a sketch about Van Gogh.
At
Christmas time, I'll have to post it.
Yeah, put that up. I remember that sketch.
Links your jumper, and it links the festive boy with the
I remember that sketch. That's a good one. Put that up.
So thank you to PJ Bester.
Bester.
Our main man or woman.
PJ the Bester.
Very good. Yeah, thank good suggestion.
Thank you. Well, if you too would like to suggest a topic, please hit us up at... Do Go On Pod for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We're also listed at Do Go On Pods. If you search that, you'll find us on all those things.
Mm-hmm.
We're posting a lot of Instagram photos. If you want to see what we really look like.
Behind the scenes. You want some behind the scenes exclusives.
That has really piqued my interest.
Yeah, I want to see what they look
like.
If
you want to see my festive jumper.
Yeah, we'll post a photo of that, I guess.
A festive boy.
We have to now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Cool.
Of course, you can also email us at Do Go On pod@gmail.com is the address.
Yes. Sorry, I need Jess in the knee.
We need each other.
I'm feeling left out.
Come here.
Oh, she's kneeing me right now.
Make a knee triangle. Don't make it weird.
Yeah, don't make it weird, Dave.
That was weird how you made it weird.
Let me cup use knees.
Okay, so it's a perfect time then to also mention that we have a Patreon now.
Oh, that's right. We have launched the Patreon.
Oh, yeah. So you can put it into the normal hat.
Yes.
The traditional hat in those other ways, but via the Patreon, you can now put it into the golden hat.
The golden hat.
Yep.
Which was dubbed by our own festive boy.
Festive boy, I love the golden hat along with my golden tonsils.
There it is.
I will swallow all of the ideas.
Can I be golden girl?
Whichever. Please, my golden right-hand girl.
Yes!
And Matt, the man with the golden gun.
Oh.
The golden guns. He's pointing to his muscles. Yeah, Patreon... If you have listened to every week and you want to keep the show going, that kind of thing, if you can contribute anything you can, that'd be great. There's also, there's rewards. We'll have our first ever bonus mini episode for the $10 or more per month subscribers coming out very soon.
Mm.
So keep an eye out for that.
Exciting.
You can also vote for Matt's topics, all that kind of stuff. Check it out. We'll be linking that quite a lot so you can see what we're up to. Matt and Jess have been out on the road and they are still got one more date on their comedy tour of rural Victoria. So if you live in our home state here in Australia.
We're hitting up Castlemaine. It'll be tomorrow on the 17th.
So if you heard this on the day it came out, tomorrow night or the day after, tonight or Friday, you fucked up. It was last night.
You idiots. That's okay. There'll be others.
We'll be there. I mean, they'll be there. Castlemaine.
If you follow us on the social medias, we do keep you up to date with such things. We're always doing live shows of sorts.
Yeah, we love them.
Bloody love it. And hey, maybe one day we might even do a live podcast show.
Ooh.
Keen to if we anyone could be bothered coming.
Yes, yeah. We are very keen. Maybe let us know if you would come to a show. Obviously, it's very difficult for us to get over to Ohio.
Where there are a lot of you. But hey, dreams can come true.
Or Monaco or Mexico City.
Yeah.
All these places. We do appreciate you listening. But I don't know, if you are in Australia and you would come to a show, let us know if we did a live pod. We'd love to. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, heaps of fun. Any excuse,
but
really.
It would be very sad if we just did this, but in a venue with no one there.
Oh, that would be a bit
sad. Well, I mean, that's kind of what we're doing right now.
No, yeah. But it's all right because we're in a very small room.
Yeah, sure. You couldn't really fit. You could fit three more people in here.
Yeah, but if we booked out the MCG.
Oh, that'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? And nobody turned up. They all got the dates wrong, obviously.
Or the MSG, Madison Square Garden.
Whoopsie.
Whoops. But thanks for listening, everyone. Get in contact. We'd love to hear from you if you want to suggest a topic or if you just want to say hey. But we'll be back next week with another brand new report. And until then, I will say goodbye.
Bye.
All right, laters. And you can say other words too. Doesn't have to just be hey. Laters. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.